where a young hero strives against ancient evil. Lead him on a perilous quest to restore an amulet of great power and defeat the dark sorcerer who rules the land. Come to a world of wizards and demons, of bright steel and dark magic, of heroic deeds and base treacheries. Thayer's Quest. The fantasy is yours.
I'm Mike McGinnis.
And I'm Jeff Prescott.
And this is No Quarter, a podcast that hasn't been around for a while. We've had kind of a busy summer. Things happen, life happens, but we're back and we're here to talk about some arcade games, one in particular. But first, how are you, Jeff?
I'm well, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to avoid the heat. It's been crazy hot here.
Yeah, you can have it.
All right. So I guess we'll just dive right into it. We're talking about today the Laserdisc game by RDI. Released in 1984, Thayer's Quest. What do you think about this game, Jeff?
Can we start with a preamble about how much Laserdisc games suck?
Yeah, we could. We can absolutely do that. And okay. In fact, it sounds like you and I agree on. Laserdisc is made so much worse by like the failure of the potential. Not just how junky the games were, but like. You know, I love cartoons, you know, and I love lasers and you would think what a great way to combine two things that you would love so that you could play a cartoon. And so it hurts so much more that pretty much everything about Laserdiscs ended up being a failure and a disappointment, including this game, unfortunately.
Yeah. There's so much unfulfilled promise in this medium. I mean, we all. Every arcade maven of a certain age, like us, can remember the first time that we were graced with the presence of a Dragon's Lair machine.
Uh-huh.
And didn't RDI develop this stuff too, I think?
Yeah, they were Dragon's Lair and Space Ace. And,
right, right. One. So, I mean, I can remember catching that across the way and just being awestruck, like you're playing a cartoon. This is impossible to believe. And it was a giant lie predicated on an unsuspecting public for 50 cents a credit.
Oh, yeah, that was the other killer. It just seems so expensive. I was terrible at games like Dragon's Lair and Space Ace, and to waste 50 cents, I mean, two whole plays on a joust machine on just like three moves and dying over and over just didn't seem like a lot of fun to me. But I enjoyed watching experts play. I mean, it was fun to watch because it was a cartoon.
Right. I mean, there's 25 minutes worth of video there. If you can get all the way through it, it's a half hour Saturday morning cartoon with no commercials.
Right.
But it's the same rat maze over and over and over with a minor variation in the sequence of the scenes and whatnot. But I always thought Dragon's Lair was really unfair with the amount of tracking time between when you pushed the action button and when it actually reacted. And I noticed a little lag here. Maybe it's the Daphne setup, I don't know. But it was a little frustrating.
Yeah, that was not a feature that they ever, you know, really went out of their way to advertise, was that there were load times as the information was being sought on the disc. And in this game in particular, it was frustrating because after a while, there were a lot of short scenes, you know, where not much would happen and then you'd be staring at a menu again or you'd be loading, and it got really irritating after a little while. I get sort of what they were going for here, but I just don't. I think the medium was just wrong for arcade games. You know, lasers, much as we wanted them to be great, they just weren't and never would be.
Yeah, like you said, it's something that you can behold from a distance. It's real pretty. It's just kind of out of your price range, and there's no substance to it whatsoever. and the only real thrill and the benefit from the medium is watching a master, you know, like run through it. But even for them, it has to be an empty experience of just a perfunctory series of button mashing at the right time. And it's just a memory quiz, really, you know, like with no randomization and no real skill beyond memorization.
Now, Thayer's Quest, I think, was sort of an attempt to address that particular problem, you know, where it was just memorizing timing on joystick moves and button presses, where you were presented with a branching story, and we'll talk more about the hardware in a minute, but instead of the joystick button setup that you were used to, you actually had a keyboard, and you would choose menu options, and I see where they were going with this, but it just there are too many things wrong with it. And the biggest, of course, is that it's LaserDisc.
Yeah, for sure. It is really ambitious. But ultimately it's an empty and void experience.
So the idea, the story behind the game, and I'm reading from the Dragon Slayer project here, is that 1,000 years ago, the Five Kingdoms, Wygarde, Ilus, Iskar, the Far Reaches, and Shadowen were united under the benevolent rule of the Elder Kings. But the evil wizard Sorcebal allied himself with dark forces from the land of Shadowen, and with their dread power destroyed the Elder Kings and claimed Shadowen as his own domain. The Elder Kings preserved their power by parting the hand of Coid, the great amulet that was the source and focus of all true magic, and created the five relics. They concealed one relic in each of the five kingdoms, knowing that if Sorcebal possessed the hand, he would wield absolute control over the land. Sorcebal and his dark minions are searching for the relics, as Thayer Alkenred, last of the bloodline of the Elder Kings, you must find the relics and restore the amulet of power before it is too late. Which is pretty much every D&D quest that ever existed. In fact,
yes.
this feels a lot like one of those Saturday morning B-level cartoons. It was sort of D&D-ish, but they couldn't afford the license, so they called it something else. But it was just, the swords and wizardry and things like that, that played at like 10 o'clock after Bugs Bunny and all the rest of them had finished and your sugar coma had already kicked in and you weren't really watching anyway.
I had the exact same feeling. Like the animation, it just reeks of like the 6 a.m. cartoon for me of Dungeons and Dragons. I guess it was on a little earlier in the East. Or the most generic, unambitious Dungeon Master elementary school cafeteria table quest inconceivable.
Right. This is something you came up with like when you were in sixth grade with your friends, too.
Right.
And you thought you were cool, a cool dungeon master because you were so creative.
Only there's no role for initiative here. None.
Yeah. Well, and it's odd that, so if this amulet had been split up into five pieces and spread across the kingdom to keep the bad guy from getting it, why are you putting it back together again? It would seem to run counter to what they were going for.
Plot hole. For sure.
So, but I will say that the artwork was really good. I mean, it does look like a Saturday morning cartoon, and I think they did a better job of integrating the digital game pieces of it into the artwork than, say, Dragon's Lair or Space Ace or something like that. But overall, it's just
didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, there is like an awkward pause, and you get like a little submenu, and you have to choose a function or a path akin to the choose your own adventure pulp novels from the 80s too, from the keyboard. And the keyboard itself is kind of a weird and truly unique mechanic for an arcade experiment. I mean, if you thought that a game like Defender or Stargate had a complex control panel, you know, wait until you get a look at like a 28 key, like QWERTY keyboard, membrane keyboard, you know, on an arcade control panel. Like, just looking at it for the first time, and a backstory and whatnot that I guess they didn't take time to create in the attract mode. So there's actually leaflets and pamphlets on the side of the game for the player to take home and read to get an idea of what the backstory is and the basic conceit of the whole experiment.
Yeah. You always have to kind of worry when they have to hand you a pamphlet to play an arcade game.
Communist arcade game.
Right. The of course, so the game itself wasn't actually supposed to be an arcade game. RDI was developing this console called the Halcyon.
What an awesome name, by the way. Right. I mean, and it's vaporware. Another disappointment from a Laserdisc game, like the potentially the greatest named home system ever to not exist.
Yep. Well, there's an episode of the Computer Chronicles, which I don't know if you ever watched that when you were growing up, but where Rick Dyer brought in a Halcyon and they were playing Thayer's Quest on it. And
oh, the prototype.
Yeah. Could see how awkward it was, but there was so much, again, you could see the potential there because it used speech input and it would, you know, remember your name and talk back to you, and just so much fail. And
joining us now is Rick Dyer. Rick is president of RDI Video Systems, and Rick was the one responsible for Dragon's Lair. And joining Rick is Jay Eagle, executive vice president of Proton, and Jay is involved with the audio and video elements of Halcyon, an incredible new system we're going to see in just a moment.
Stuart, what have you become, an airline pilot, or what is this piece of headgear you have?
No, actually, I'm about to communicate with this machine, Halcyon, we have out here. You get these guys to explain it, and then I'll talk to it.
Good. Well, so far, we've talked about two uses of laser storage technology. One is in video in a shoot-em-up style game. The second one was in mass storage with the CD-ROM. Rick has had a machine under development here for some time. I read about in the technical press called the Halcyon, and I'd like to have him explain to us what he's got.
Halcyon is basically, it's hard to communicate to the people that have never seen the product because there's nothing to relate to it. I guess the best way would be to use, if you remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, there was a computer in that movie called HAL. And with HAL, you were able to talk to HAL. HAL could talk back to you. HAL would recognize your voice and say your name. HAL had intelligence he could learn, and he could control functions within his environment. And that's what Halcyon's all about. That's what
The elements of Halcyon that are similar to HAL, let's say, would be the speech recognition, the speech synthesis, and some form of intelligence or learning.
That's correct. Going on.
Okay, good.
Now, how important is the laser disc component to this? Is the laser disc just carrying the pictures here or the logic?
The laser disc is really carrying both. It contains information where HAL, the computer, is presenting you with situations. You have to think and make the decisions as far as how you want to handle them.
Okay, now this, I understand, is the very first time you're actually showing off Halcyon on television anywhere. Let's get going. Show me what this thing can do.
Okay, I think maybe the first thing is we'll just turn him off and turn him on. As you remember, you were talking with HAL before, so now when we turn him on, all you have to do is say your name. He will recognize your voice and recognize who you are.
Okay.
So. Welcome to Halcyon. Do you want to play Thayer's Quest?
Yes.
Yes. If I have your voice print, please say your name or else press any P.
Stuart.
Nice to see you again, Stuart Jeffy. Can I call you Stuart?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Pretty
Stuart.
Impressive. A little bit
familiar. Last time you played Gears 4 was 764.
It's referring to the last time.
That's right.
50,000.
I did pretty poorly.
Do you want to continue your game?
Yes.
Yes, please insert this for part one of Thayer's Quest.
And now we'll see some pictures, Rick.
You'll continue right where you left off.
Okay. Now what you've done is really combine some technologies that have really been around. Well, you've got the recognition of speech, a trainable speech recognizer is something that's available today. And also the speech synthesis is also something that's available. So you've combined in a package here that really makes a story and what is that unique part of it?
Well, first of all, I think the speech recognition is the most advanced speech recognition that's ever been put on the marketplace. Yes, there has been speech recognition. There has never been speech recognition of the high caliber that this has. It has the ability to understand up to a 200-word vocabulary.
Take this staff to the fairy circle in the forest and give it to the fairies.
So, as you can see...
Now, that's me, sort of. I'm the character in this
that's
story.
That's right. You're that character.
And I've got a choice now. Sorry, Hal.
Let's go to the forest clearing.
One.
What?
One.
Speak consistently, Stuart.
One.
Sir.
Two.
Two.
Is that okay? I mean,
sure.
Sure, that's a different story, then.
Oh, fellow.
Who are you?
Nigel the Huntsman. I know much of these woods. For example, I know that the Crystal of Lothar will enable you to overcome the familiars. Come back sometime, and I'll share a story with you.
So the character just gave you some information.
Okay, and we're not moving linearly through the story then, right? I mean, it's branching depending on what
happens.
That's
correct. Mm-hmm. Again. When you're talking, he's listening to you.
Sorry, Hal.
You want me to unplug you so he
yeah,
can
sure.
hear?
I think we've gotten that point across.
Now, what sort of learning goes on with Halcyon?
Halcyon learns what your strengths are, what your weaknesses, what you like. And as you get involved in this adventure, whatever it is, whether it's learning history or playing football or in a fantasy like this, he will ask you questions and learn about you. And as you go through time, and the more you interact with him, the more he learns about
Cam,
you as a personality.
Is there artificial? You were mentioning that there was some artificial intelligence use in the machine. Does it actually extrapolate or anything beyond just?
Well, it asks questions from you, and it learns based on your answers.
It recognizes the words that you've... Now, each time that you come up, another user comes up, then you train it for a separate set of words.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when I was talking to it, it knew my history from the previous playing session to some degree.
That's right.
What applications are there? I mean, this is a fascinating, sophisticated adventure game, but what applications would there be for Halcyon beyond that?
I think that the relationship to 2001: A Space Odyssey and the HAL 9000 computer is applicable here too for future applications of the technology, because as HAL in the spaceship was able to control the environment in which he operated through communications, and by the way, communications were conversation with the human element, the same thing will happen in Halcyon technology. The next generation of applications will clearly be communication between the user, the consumer who operates Halcyon, and the ability for Halcyon to control the audio-video system, open and close the doors. It has a calendar clock built in, so Halcyon,
so
for example,
so you're saying basically this is the tip of the iceberg. This is the starting point. We certainly don't want to promote it as a HAL or an AI machine in that sense. At this point, what you're basically doing is getting things rolling in a sense of speech recognition,
HAL
synthesis,
already,
and so forth.
HAL already has the artificial intelligence. What Jay was referring to is that HAL has already designed into him the ability to interface with any home computer or external peripheral or device that he can control or get information from or give information to.
Right. So it's available in real
now. What we call traditional AI, it really doesn't satisfy that criterion now. It's a sense of real intelligence. I think that'd be fair to say, wouldn't it?
I think to the degree that intelligence is necessary for it to be useful in many ways to the consumer, it has real artificial intelligence. And in fact, to the point where what we typically think of as a robot, which is a little creature that goes around on wheels and sweeps dust off that kind of picture of a robot, this is a true robot. It serves the user in any number of ways that you choose to have it control or help you control your environment through conversation.
Just
that's kind of robot, without wheels.
It's a real good starting point. It's a very impressive machine.
Briefly, we have about 30 seconds. There's a history application you have on this. Explain that, Rick.
The history is Voyage to the New World. It's about the history of John Cabot, who lived in 1498. But you learn history by going back in time and actually becoming a part. You are on the ship.
Okay, pretty fascinating stuff. Halcyon, we'll play with you and talk with you later. Now, how far will...
So the game Thayer's Quest was, I guess, being developed, was supposed to have been for this Halcyon console. And when that failed and never went anywhere, they shipped the game out instead as conversion kits for Dragon's Lair cabinets. And so you've got this game that wasn't developed to be used in an arcade setting. It was supposed to be on a computer with a keyboard and that sort of thing, or speech input. And now you've stuck it into an arcade cabinet. So it doesn't surprise me at all the people looked at that and went, I don't know what this is, and didn't play it.
Yeah. Can you imagine the engineering department at the last minute getting the memo? We need to push this out to the floor. No console. Can you develop a keyboard for us in 2 weeks? I bet that was awesome.
And it's interesting that they had planned this, I guess, as a multi-part game. There was a Theros Quest 2 planned,
mm-hmm.
Because the first game only includes three of the five kingdoms.
Yeah, presumably the other two were in the sequel, right?
Right, yeah. And in fact, you know, I was never able to finish the game all the way through, but I watched one of those playthroughs on YouTube, and there's, once you get the final, you know, you get the credits and congratulations, you won and this and that, then there's actually, a trailer, a preview for the next game. And it's narrated and it's really well done, better than anything else in this game.
Yeah, doesn't it look better than this game completely?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Return to a wondrous realm of magic and splendor, where a young apprentice continues his quest to rejoin a shattered amulet and assume his rightful place on the throne. He must overcome the schemes of a malicious sorcerer and wicked minions who torment the downtrodden land. Explore a breathtaking kingdom where danger rains down and a hero's hopes rise. An enchanted world filled with treacherous rogues, bloodthirsty pirates, and noble wizards. A land of colossal battles and personal triumphs, of mythical beasts and timeless beauty. Kingdom, the fantasy is yours.
So, yeah, overall, just a big disappointment. Part of the problem that I had, especially, was the menus. I get the menuing system was supposed to provide depth and make it easier to branch, but ultimately, it would just take you out of the game. It would freeze like right as something action was going to happen, and then you would choose, and then you would watch the reactions of what you chose on the screen. It was it didn't draw me into the game at all like that.
Right, especially when the result of so many of my choices was getting killed or pounded or wounded or having precious objects stolen from me. Yeah. A real exercise in frustration, but I knew that I'm tempering all of my criticisms here because we hate Laserdisc games as a medium anyway, but even that being said, this game stood out as an exercise in futility.
Yeah, this was a tough one. The plot was, you know, typically D&D convoluted, and I never could really figure out what I was doing because as you move from scene to scene, you would run into people and they would talk to you, and you would trying to remember everything that you were told and have the scenes not really flow well from one to the next. So in one scene, you're talking to a wizard and he's telling you, you need to get this object from that person. And then the next one, you're talking to some knight that says you have to go over here and do that.
The continuity leaves something to be desired.
Right.
And it's jarring from scene to scene. When all of a sudden, you know, you're at the cloud tower and then you're in the middle of a forest with all the trees chopped down and there's a bag of bones next to a pool of blood with a message in it. And then somebody with an axe is telling you to go away. Right. And I'm like, I want to take this advice. I want to run away from the whole cabinet.
So this wasn't ever shipped as a cabinet then, was it?
No, this existed as a conversion kit only, as far as I can ascertain, that that consumed the hardware of Dragon's Lair cabinets, and apparently not very many of them.
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. 1984 was certainly at the, I think people, the sheen had been tarnished on the Laserdisc name at that point.
So this is 84, right? So
yeah.
Like a year after, like the whole cult of personality around that medium is totally cooled. And this was not a good way to generate public interest and revive a dying medium.
Was there anything that you did like about it?
I like the keyboard, honestly. And I like being able to type your name in at the beginning, and you can actually save your game when you die. And if your game is, if you're along in the game to, like, the last 10 players to play the game, I think it has a save file for each. So if your name's unique from a table, you could conceivably re-up and continue your quest if you were interested enough. And if you had enough quarters, because I think the game actually requires quarters for time, not just distance. So lame.
Yeah, that was another thing that bothered me, was you basically have to pay your way to the end of the game, because there's no score to be kept, but you buy time.
Right. And, I mean, the objects on the keyboard and identifying the chalice or using the blood sword or taking the spell down, I mean, I guess the control scheme of the keyboard, I thought, was unique and cool enough to be attempted, and I'll give them credit for executing that just because of the uniqueness of having a keyboard on an arcade game. I can't think of this ever reoccurring.
Probably for a good reason.
Yeah, true.
I found it frustrating to have, you know, have action happening and just be like very jarring to be pulled out of it and have things pause while I go through menus and make choices and then have it start back up again. There was one part where, like, you know, this king is threatening to kill you, and right as his guards are running at you, it freezes and you have to choose what you want to do, and you throw the sword at the king.
Blood sword, baby, blood sword. You know, like those little, I guess back in the 30s and, you know, post vaudeville, when there were the little serials that were 3 or 4 minutes that ran before like a major motion picture. Mm-hmm. And it was always a picture of like Superman, like being destroyed by kryptonite, or a giant boulder falling on the hero. And you actually see the end of the scene where the hero's head's like chopped off. Right. And next week you get the continuation, but they've lost that 6 seconds, and miraculously the action is totally different and the editing is a little hinky. Like, that's the same jarring kind of, wait a minute, this isn't right, and it's all incongruous, and only it's not as cool as the serials were. I did notice at the beginning, when I started up one of my first games and I had entered my name, I got distracted for a few minutes by the cat, and there were voice samples, and it was asking me if I had gone to the toilet and encouraging me to not be shy and to play the game.
Wow.
Yes. So at the beginning, if you don't do anything and it's waiting for you to enter your name to proceed, eventually the game will heckle you. And that, I mean, to its credit, that's kind of cool.
That's funny. I do like that. I like the fact that, okay, the voice acting was sufficiently cheesy to blend well into a game like this.
Yeah. Did you get an Ed Wood vibe from this game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but I did like that they went all out and got – it's not the same person trying to pretend to be four different people, you know. And even if what was happening didn't really make any sense, you could tell that they were dedicated to making it look good.
Yeah, there was a cast of at least 6 people involved. Right. And who are all very anonymous, by the way. There's no credits, and there's no list of characters or anything in the pamphlet that I could find. They're all quite anonymous.
Now, you said you played this in Daphne?
Yep.
I know that current versions of Daphne require a disc for some games, and like the discs that are owned by, or the properties that are owned by Digital Leisure, which are Space Ace, Dragon's Lair, and this, and I think 1 or 2 other ones. And I know that by default, it wants you to, you know, for copy protection, put an original disc in before it will download and play that. Did you run into any of that?
That was circumvented by a friend of mine, and I have no idea how he did it.
Yeah. So you can, yeah, if you have an older version of Daphne, this isn't a problem, but the newer ones, you can work around it, and it's not impossible, but it does require some effort to get around that check. So,
right. I can't believe they're enforcing the copyright protection on this IP, but sure enough, and I guess paying that forward a little bit into the future, like as Laserdiscs age and bit rot's a problem and scratches, like those things are enormous, like the size of LPs, and some of them are even double-sided, and those players – are notoriously bad hardware. Are you familiar with the Dexter project?
No, what's that?
In the arcade community, some LaserDisc enthusiasts have actually created a small board powered by a Raspberry Pi, and they've basically mashed in like an SD card with all the video from the discs that have been ripped into like an ISO and crammed onto, you know, a 2 gigabyte-esque SD card, which is powered by a Pi with a little piece of software on it from the Dexter project that perfectly emulates the Pioneer LaserDisc format.
Wow.
And it's a plug-in, drop-in replacement on the power cable, I believe, to circumvent the LaserDisc. And you can even you can put a random element in there for Dragon's Lair for, you know, the correct randomization of scenes. And you can even change the seek time, quote unquote, with air quotes, to perfectly replicate that pause that we're also fond of when you see, you know, like the little illumination cue for an action, and then, you know, the seek time to for the disc to actually show the next scene is pretty seamless, actually. And for about $150. You can put one of these in your arcade cabinet and put your Pioneer on the shelf or burn it.
That's pretty awesome because, mm-hmm. you know, I was just looking at this, the Halcyon, the write-up on that Halcyon game system, which was $2,500, or that was going to be the intended price, and they were going to release a total of 6 games for that. So, you know, do the math on the value you were paying to play each one of those games.
That makes the 3DO seem a lot more salient of a business model, actually. Sorry, Trip. Wow, $2,500. Why don't you just buy the damn game and put it in your living room?
It would seem to make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as I wish LaserDisc worked, and I wish that this could have been a great D&D adventure game, it just, everything about it so wasn't.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, how far did you get before, like, you didn't care about Quode anymore?
Not very far.
No.
It's been a while since we recorded our last episode, and I haven't played this in a while, but I don't remember getting too far into it, at least when I was watching the walkthroughs. How about you?
Desert Oasis in Illaes or whatever.
Okay.
Is as far as I could get. And that's multiple attempts and mapping out the correct choices to avoid the frustration and of coming back to it fresh, which I guess everyone should have approached these things, the hardcore, you know, with a post-it note and a pencil, so a few rolls of quarters, and you could probably just figure it all out if you were OCD enough to care. But I watched the same clip you did, I think, probably on YouTube, to see the ending. And I love how anticlimactic it is, and they basically force you to co-opt into the sequel to find out about the other two worlds. And I mean, that's a bait and switch, like straight up. I would have written an angry letter to RDI if I'd paid for that privilege. So thank you, YouTube, for maintaining my sanity.
And imagine how much more angry you would have been when you realized eventually that there was no sequel coming.
Exactly. You're perfectly right. On top of that, there's no forthcoming issue of anything else because they went bankrupt and then that's all she wrote.
I know that the IP was repackaged and released on other systems later on as like Kingdom and Kingdom 2 and games like that, but I still would have been irritated that I wouldn't have got to play the direct sequel.
Right, to an unsuspecting public, probably, who'd long given up on going into the arcades and playing Bard's Tale and never leaving their TRS-80, they loosed this game onto those same people and rooked them into probably $29.95 off the shelf at Babbage's. Suckers. You know, so too bad there was no early warning system, no Twitter, you know, back in 1984, so everyone could have been warned to stay away.
Yeah, this is just not a, you know, not a game that you really want to waste your time with, I think. I don't even know that I would recommend playing it as an emulated experience now. First, because of the, what a pain it is to get Daphne to run it without an original disc. And just because it's kind of a bad game.
Kinda. You're too kind.
Well, you know, one of the big problems with Laserdisc back then was that they were arcades, the arcade manufacturers that made these things would put home units into their cabinets, home Laserdisc players that weren't meant to be playing thousands of playthroughs every day.
Right.
And they broke down almost immediately. And so, like, you know, even when I go into the local barcade here, the local retrocade, you see a Dragon's Lair unit and you almost expect to see the out of order sign on it because the Laserdisc is broken again.
Yeah, they need to buy the Dexter board.
Exactly.
And then that puppy will run like a top.
So, Jeff, would you recommend our players, our listeners, go out and buy one of these things if they can?
In all honesty, no. I'd rather have the Blood Sword, personally, you know, or a Pentacle Coin, or even, you know, Quod's Orb, but I would not want to play this game again. There should have been swag with this game. Like, the marketing might have helped get it off the ground.
There should have been something. This unfortunately, was just a disappointment all the way around. And, you know, normally I would now ask you how you did on score, but it didn't even give you scores.
No.
It just felt it was very slow. I mean, even compared to, like, Space Ace or Dragon's Lair, which, you know, they're bad games, but at least there was action going on all the time. This was walking around a lot and talking to people and kind of slow for an arcade experience.
And you know, Dirk had a charm. I mean, he was a dim-witted Goomba, but there was a certain appeal for that character, and it was masterfully done. Like, the hero here, Thayer, this obnoxious, soulless, featureless, the role that you assume in this game is as bland and vanilla as you could possibly imagine. Almost as bland as the game itself, you know, and that didn't help.
And there's no humor either, which, I mean, it's a very serious D&D game, you know, so.
Right.
I never had those little moments in Space Ace that made me giggle because of what an oaf he was.
Yeah, it was all cringing and gnashing of teeth.
And for what? The promise of a sequel that never came, because, like you said, there's no big finish. You sort of get this out of the blue. You get this congratulations screen, and you know you've finished on whatever level that it randomly assigned to you, and then you got the preview for what's coming next, which never came.
Right, and then you get further kicked in the gut, knowing that a perfectly good Dragon's Lair game was sacrificed. To give you this experience, which almost makes me sad because I really don't like Dragon's Lair either, but I like it a lot more than I like Thayer's Quest.
All right. Well, maybe we'll like the next game that we play better. What do you say?
Yeah, because it's going to sound like this.
Close grab when you qualify the rope.
All right, folks. Well, it's a short one, but, you know, I guess we could have stretched the complaining out to an hour if you wanted, but there's not much to say about it. It's not a good game, and I'm glad it's in our rear view. We played it, and we can say that we played it, and it's done. Let's move on.
Indeed. Let's move on. Bye, everyone.
Welcome to the thrills and excitement of NFL football.
If you've ever felt that you could have called a better game than your favorite quarterback, your time has arrived, courtesy of the ultimate in video entertainment, this voice-activated Laserdisc computer.
Do you want to play?
Yes.
Nice to see you again, Thunder.
Stack.
Short pass versus stack.
This is Halcyon, the first interactive Laserdisc video system for the home. It's like talking to the computer HAL in the movie 2010, but this isn't a movie.
He's playing an intelligent game. If you're not playing a good football game, he's going to beat you. Just
Rick Dyer created the Halcyon system. He's the same programmer who developed the popular arcade game Dragon's Lair. Designing Halcyon took him 6 years and cost $6 million.
Don Dare.
Once you've programmed your voice into the system, Halcyon recognizes you, calls you by name, and keeps track of your progress in several types of adventure or live-action games, like football. Hundreds of plays have been gathered from traditional rivalries and stored on the Laserdisc. You either play against a friend or challenge the computer, picking your plays. This is Don Dare reporting.
By your indecision fear, you have failed. Yet I still believe you show promise. I will start you again if you wish. You have failed there.
A troublemaker if I ever saw one.
But I...
Guards, take him.
Can't see to step. Whoa!
Ah! Ah!
We kept the enchanted bow from Sorcerer, and we'll keep it from you, thief!
The wizard Lupar a very long time ago.
Thieving magical curse. The sands have run out for you, magician. Don't use... When will they learn not to use magic here? The new keeper here, and I may leave now.